From Everbank Field in Jacksonville, this is Jaguars.com Live. A weekly look inside the Jacksonville Jaguars organization. Jaguars.com Live starts right now.
And we start off with a look at the Hart Bridge over the St. John's River. Rainy day in Jacksonville. We need the rain. It has been dry around here the last month or so, and finally the last few days, some precipitation. Welcome into Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank. J.P. Shadrick with you. A busy week around Everbank Field. The team is in. Phase 3 of the off-season program is here. It's an off day today. Well, is it an off day? We'll hear from Paz coming up. But Thursday and Friday back on the field again, and the opening of Daly's Place this weekend. Saturday, the first concert. So plenty to get to today. Paul Pozlesny, El Capitan, will join us here in studio. We'll discuss phase 3 of the off-season program and Daly's Place coming up this weekend. John Osier with us. Paul Pozlesny with us, too. What's up, guys? How we doing, Paul?
Good. How are you?
Good to see you, man. Thanks for coming in today.
Is that the first time you've been referred to as El Capitan?
I think so.
I think you've seen a lot in this league. Maybe not that.
not quite that. Okay.
Just went there. You know, why not? 11th year. 11th year. Paul, you believe that?
No. It goes by fast.
I had Mercedes in here yesterday, and the same thing with him. 12 years for him. Mm-hmm. He's the longest tenured by NFL experience.
But yeah, do you still feel, Paul? I'm sorry, JP. You seem in great shape. Do you feel like an 11-year guy? I mean, are you,
I don't feel old, if that's what you mean.
Well, after 11 years in this league, some guys do.
Right now, everything feels great.
Gotcha. Yeah,
everything feels great. And so I'm
getting through 16 last year, which had been, I would say, an issue, but hadn't done that the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. That's got to feel good in your 10th year to get through 16. And I know that's always a help when you go into an off-season healthy.
Very much so. When you don't have to deal with surgeries or rehab, whenever you can go into an off-season healthy and know that you can just continually work on getting bigger, faster, stronger, that always helps for the upcoming season.
The change, everybody's going to ask you about the move to strong side and all that, but now you've had a few more weeks into it now in the mm-hmm. classroom at least. Now you get to face off 11-on-11 work against an offense type of thing in phase 3. Is the challenge the on-the-field part or the classroom part or both, or where's the balance for you there?
I definitely think the hardest part will be the on-the-field aspect, because in the classroom we get to learn and we have a general understanding of everything that's expected of us. But then actually going out and doing it and competing against Mercedes Lewis live, that changes things. So it's the physical challenge that will be the biggest adjustment for me.
Now, you're always composed, always in control. But when you first talked after the move to the strong side, when you talked to the media publicly, you could tell it was a little bit of a shock and a little bit of a, hey, this is going to be a huge challenge. And you were it looked like you were sort of dealing with that a little bit. After 2 or 3 weeks, what's your confidence level on the strong side? Where are you at in terms of this move and what faces you?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I would say my confidence level is definitely growing. Mm-hmm. The more and more reps we can do, the more times that, you know, more time we can spend with the coaches, the more confident we'll become. So I'm obviously, you know, completely bought in to this move. This is the way that it's going to be, and this is what's going to be what's best for the team. Now I need to find a way to do the best job I can, you know, playing that strong side spot. And like I said, the more we have an opportunity to work, the better we'll be.
What are the biggest challenges you'll face over there? I mean, you've had 10 years in the middle where I assume so much is read and react, and you don't have to think at all out there in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
On the strong, is it getting past that point where you have to think?
Yes. Knowing my assignments so well that I can just understand how an offense is trying to attack us and just being able to play fast that way. That and lining up on the line of scrimmage, you mm-hmm. know, playing middle linebacker, I aligned at 4.5 yards off the ball, was able to read things from that perspective. Now, you know, I'll have the opportunity to align on the line of scrimmage where things happen even faster and decisions need to be made even quicker. So being able to do that and pick that up quickly will be a something I'll need to work on.
And it's something you have to do while you're engaged too, right? If you're on the line, somebody's blocking you.
Someone's there right there in front of you, which is different from being an off-the-ball stack linebacker. So just another opportunity to learn and, you know, another challenge to face and try to be able to play the position the best I can.
So when's the last time you were actually on the ball? I mean, ever during a game at middle, or has it been years since you're even in that situation?
I've never done it in the NFL.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I've never done it in the NFL. That's a kind of a unique spot. I've always been a stack linebacker, more off mm-hmm. the ball.
And That's an amazing transition to be making.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good challenge. Yeah. It's definitely a good challenge. It gives you a much better understanding of different spots. When you say, well, you play linebacker, well, there's very unique challenges for each linebacker spot. So it gives you a greater understanding of the position group as a whole and how our entire defense works together.
Let's flip it around the other side now. Miles Jack moving to middle. Mm-hmm. He's played middle before. How's he look? Has he asked you for advice in his transition the last few weeks?
I mean, he looks unbelievable. Yeah. He's going to be a great middle linebacker for us, and he has done a great job of taking command of the huddle, leading the defense from a communication perspective, because we all know physically he has all the gifts. He has all the talents to make plays on the field, and he's doing an unbelievable job of playing Mike linebacker now.
That's a huge part of it, though, to have the confidence to go into a huddle with a lot of guys who've been around the league for a long time and take over the huddle, right? That's a big mm-hmm. step for
yeah,
a young guy.
Absolutely. And he's doing an unbelievable job of it. The biggest thing is, you know, everybody trusts him, and we know that we can depend on him when it counts.
Now, will you approach him to help? Does he ask you for help, or is that just something you figure it'll happen organically?
It goes both ways, because he played some Sam linebacker last year for us, and obviously, you know, I've had experience at middle linebacker, so it's gone both ways. I've asked him, hey, how did you see this last year? How did you play this formation? And obviously the opposite of that as well, where he knows that he can come to me anytime he has questions about playing middle linebacker.
Gotcha.
A lot of new faces around here on this defense. Calais Campbell, new face, Church in the back end, Boye, all in free agency. From a defense that statistically and in certain situations played pretty well last year. There's a lot of changes even from last year. All positive so far? All the new faces?
Absolutely. I mean, you talk the guys that we brought in are day one starters, guys that are going to have an immediate impact with us and bring a huge positive presence to our defense. They're all great leaders, and they're guys that are going to make plays on the field. So very, very positive changes going on defensively.
Are we doing social, or is this
no,
just
no. Okay, well, it's us, me and you.
I have a trivia question for you.
Okay.
I love this.
Who's the Jaguars defender since 2011? Who leads the team in interceptions since then?
Since 2011?
Yeah. Mm. Mm. And do you know what that number is?
Mm. I don't know what the number is, but I would say it's probably me, because I feel like I'm the only one that's been here that long.
11 interceptions.
Okay. Since 2011.
Right.
Yeah.
For a guy who supposedly
it's not enough
can't cover,
it's not
right?
enough.
I mean, no, but that's something that
that's
everybody.
That's what you guys always
well,
say. That doesn't mean it's reality.
But that's always something. But yet, 11 interceptions and plays in the passing game. Does that ever irritate you after a while to hear that? Because I've said it. JP's. I'm sure he said it. He won't tell you he said
yeah,
it, but he said
put
it.
Words
but,
in my mouth,
right.
John. Jeez.
Does it irritate you? You learn after a while. You learn to block it out
right.
because you understand. The people that truly know the game and judge you are
which ain't us. So go ahead.
Yeah. Are your coaches, the general manager, your position coaches? They know what's expected of you and how you're playing.
Right.
So it's their opinion or thoughts that we listen to. Anything outside, it's just there's a lot of noise.
Right.
Yeah, there is. And you're not even on social media, Paul. So
no,
you're blocking
I,
all
I,
that.
I try
out,
to keep it simple
for the career though. 15 interceptions. 14 and a half sacks. It's even as a middle linebacker, I know you didn't rush a lot, but you'd think you'd fall into a few more and have more sacks and interceptions. That just kind of goes to the comment you guys were talking about there. Will that increase a little bit with your new role, a little more rush?
I think the Sam linebacker will have an opportunity to rush the passer yeah. a little bit more. Like I said, being up on the edge of the line of scrimmage, we will have chances
yeah.
To get after the quarterback. That'll be a piece of that position that that'll be new for me, where I haven't done a whole lot of that in the past, but we need that out of that position, so I'll learn to do it.
But to clarify, you said you're probably not going to do it quite as much as the true auto would have in
correct
in years past, correct?
Mm-hmm.
It'll be something that's not really a base of the position, I guess.
No, I mean very much modified.
Gotcha.
From how that outside linebacker spot played in the past.
All right, big picture here. Mercedes yesterday, I told him, you know, you're the last guy on this team that was on the last playoff team here, 2007. That's mm-hmm. 10 years ago, a long time. You weren't around here then. It's time to get something done and get some wins around here, right? Is this the team to finally do it and get back to the postseason?
I mean, you're absolutely right. It's time for Jacksonville to have the success that the team and the organization and the city deserve. So this is – we have a great group of guys. We have a great group of guys that are going to come together with a new coaching staff that if there's an opportunity for us to see vast improvement, it's definitely right now.
What's the biggest thing you've seen? Doug Marrone, he's now running practices in relatively close to a training camp type of thing now. You were under him for two games interim last year. Maybe give me your biggest takeaway on him and what gives you confidence that he's the right guy right now. What is it?
I think the biggest thing is that he has continually said it doesn't matter who you are, where you went to school, where you were drafted. It's his job to put the best 11 guys on the field, and he is going to do that hands down. That and regardless of the situation or how you became a Jaguar, he's going to do what's best for the team and put the best 11 guys on the field. And the other thing that stands out right away is the level of discipline and attention to detail that is expected of us and that we are going to be held to constantly.
Assume you like that.
Yes.
It seems like your cup of tea, if you will.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because it's going to have an enormous impact on the field. We're not going to lose games by 3 points in the fourth quarter because we made some sort of silly mistake that we may have done in years past. That won't happen this year because we will be much more disciplined.
Yeah, not only on the field, but mental discipline too is a big part of that. The rest of the week on the field, Thursday and Friday, right? How do you get ready for an OTA practice? What's your normal day like? What time do you come to the stadium?
We get a chance to get here pretty early, especially on OTA's days. We'll lift at 7 a.m. So you need to get here, warm up, eat breakfast prior to that. Have quick meetings, and then we get right on the field. Get right on the field and get right to it and have the opportunity to practice. So this is a great time in the off season because we're finally in a more of a highly competitive environment where we're going against the offense. Everything is live to the extent that we can be live in helmets. So it's great because we're getting back to football. It's not just lifting and running in meetings. We're getting back to actually being on the field and playing football.
They open this place up before 7 a.m.?
They do.
Wow.
Who knew?
Wow.
Didn't know that.
Learn something new every day on Jags.com.
We certainly do. Hey, Paul, have a great rest of the week. You going to the concerts this weekend? Daly's Place is open? No?
No. I, you guys?
Yeah.
You heading there?
I think we'll
okay.
be there. Yeah.
Nice. We'll enjoy it.
We'll be there. Good to see you, man.
Thanks for having me.
Paul Lesney joining us here on Jaguars.com Live, presented by EverBank. Yes, speaking of Daly's Place. We are days away from the opening Saturday, just outside EverBank Field. Tedeschi Trucks Band is the opener. That's Saturday night. Train OAR Natasha Bedingfield on Sunday. And then Tuesday, it's Dave Matthews and Tim Reynolds. That show is sold out. But tickets for other shows available at dailysplace.com. And the final finishing touches are going on as we speak. JP Shadrick, John Osier, Brian Sexton is, I think, doing a video on a phone. What are you doing there, Bri?
I learned something new. Snapchat.
Yeah, I learned something new today, too.
You on Snapchat?
Yeah, somebody showed me. I thought Snapchat
Insta-chat?
Was just, I just thought it was for nudies. I didn't realize that you could actually, normal people used it. So someone told me that, and I'm going to mock JP with a little quote here later. Hi, how are you?
What's new, right? Who knows?
I'm going to put that down.
Is that MySpace you're on there?
Jaguars... .com. What do we call this show?
Jaguars.com Live, presented by EverBank.
Live. Well, and then I'll teach Paul how to use it, and he'll realize it, and then he'll be on social media.
He'll be right on that.
We go.
Good luck catching up with Mercedes Lewis on that. Paul Posluszny, every time you sit down with this guy, it's amazing to hear him talk about it. He's such a leader on this defense. Mm-hmm. His role has changed. He may not like it. That was the vibe when he first talked about it a month or two ago. But he's dealing with it, and he's doing the best he can with it, and he's confident that this defense and this group's going to come together.
Well, I think it was an easy move for the Jaguars to make because you put him at strong side. It won't be as extensive a role, won't be an every down role. And you think, okay, he hasn't done it. But there's also certain guys who you just sort of have faith because of their makeup that they'll figure out a way to succeed there. They'll figure out a way to make you better. You want a guy like that on the field. I've gotten emails from people, I think Paul Posluszny is going to get released before the season. He won't be able to adapt to this.
Yeah, they don't know how Paul is perceived in this building.
He'll figure out a way to be a strength there and to help him. And I guarantee you it'll help Miles Jack and Telvin Smith and everybody else in this defense to have him on the field at times in his role.
You know, flippantly, I would say, well, he has to adjust because he's an 11-year linebacker and those guys don't find jobs all over the place. But the flip side of that is that you're talking about a guy that has done nothing but grab a hold of the challenges that have been thrown his way. You say there's certain guys that you feel like can do it. Yeah, I mean, he's one of a few guys that you figured, no problem, Puzz has got this all the way.
He'll
he's
have
got
hiccups.
This one.
I mean, there'll be times, I'm sure, where he's coming off the field.
Same mistake twice.
Right, he'll come off the field during training camp, mm-hmm. and we'll talk to him, and he'll say that he was awful that day. And he'll been okay, but he'll hold himself to a standard, and he'll figure out a way to be productive.
You know, and you'll appreciate this, because we were both in that locker room together in 1995. We'll never see another one like him. I mean, they're so rare.
Right.
I mean, dude, and I'm not talking about the player. I'm talking about the person in the locker room, good or bad, that will mm-hmm. stand there and tell you, I stunk. Go find another player in the locker room that's going to say that.
Right. They'll tell me I stunk.
Right.
But they usually won't turn it on themselves. So, and they'd be right. Yeah. So, but, yeah, and he's been a guy, obviously. Everybody knows the story. 6 years here, been through a lot of losing. Boy, wouldn't it be great if they could win, turn around with him still in the locker room to be able to be a part of it.
He's loved by his teammates, the coaches, the front office, the community. I mean, he's got a lot going for him.
And he's played at a high level at middle linebacker the last number of years here. And he could have said, hey, you know what? I don't want to change positions. Trade me. Do whatever you got to do. Get me to somewhere else. And there would be other teams, I think, willing to take him as a middle linebacker. I don't think that's any question at all.
Sure.
But he decided to take the challenge here and try to see this thing through.
But probably not at the number that he's making now.
That's true.
Right. So for him, it was a financial decision, too. Stay here, make what I make, play a little less, extend my career, or cut me loose and see if I can go find a, you know, $1.5 million, $2 million. Because an 11-year middle linebacker, mm-hmm. those guys don't make the big bucks.
Right. He also, I think, JP, I've got the impression from talking to him over the years, I don't think he wants to play anywhere else at this point in his career except Jacksonville. He's 11 years. I guess he would. I don't think it would appeal to him very much. I feel like he's attached himself to this community, feels like he's a Jaguar, and I think he wants to finish it out here. So let's hope he can.
Phase 3, off-season program. They were on the field for the first time yesterday, OTA number 1, and then they'll be back on Thursday and Friday. We were out there for, what, 25 minutes?
25 good minutes.
Got it in.
Yep.
Got it in. What'd you see in those 25 good minutes?
I checked off a roster, and I made sure who was there and who wasn't, and I did a good job with it. Yep, no, I mean, it's – in the first couple of days, we're transparent. We're not seeing a whole lot. We're seeing warm-ups. It's all fine. On Friday, we will see more even on Friday, you're talking about non-padded work, so you'll be able to see the receivers, you'll be able to see guys move around, you'll be able to see how Doug runs a practice, and most of all, you'll be able to see Blake Bortles, which is what everybody's watching right now anyway.
I just watched Keenan McCardell coach. I was just curious if he'd coach like he played with the same intensity level.
With a helmet?
Yeah, I didn't see the helmet.
With a helmet and pads. He's into it.
So, yeah, I mean, that's something we haven't seen. We haven't seen many of these assistant coaches work.
Truthfully, I mean, Doug Marrone got up yesterday and admitted, you know, that this is not a time where you know you're going to get a whole lot better. You're going to get a lot of the little stuff done and cleared out of the way so that when training camp gets mm-hmm. here, you can really bear down. Same thing. I mean, what are we seeing out here? Even on Friday, what are we really seeing out there? Whoa, Allen Robinson looks good. Ooh, DeeDee Westbrook looks fast. Man, look at that running back. Really?
Well, they better look good right now. Right.
Yeah, not bad. I mean, it's for them. It's the work that they get done. It's not for us and what we see.
Right, it's getting acclimated to go into training camp and get ready. So, yes, we'll overblow it a lot. I mentioned this on
Inside. I don't think I am. I mean, could you not tell that from my last comment?
I mentioned this on Inside the Jaguars yesterday with Brian as I went past your little thing.
I know. I just didn't want you to miss it.
I thought it was great on the podium yesterday, Doug talking about where he feels good about his team and whatnot. And he basically said, I don't know that I'm going to feel good about this team until he sees him in pads.
Yeah.
I mean, he was, you know, and I'm paraphrasing, but he was very upfront. He's not going to have on June 16th, after mini camp's over with, there's not going to be a Doug Marrone quote saying, hey, we're in good shape around here, fellas. I mean, he's got to see him in pads, and he's very realistic.
Well, and let me quote you, right?
Sure. Yesterday, I love that.
Yeah, right at the sundown. John Osier said, but we were talking about Blake Bortles. And you said last year he looked really good at this point, too. And mm-hmm. I mean, that ultimately is the reason why you look at this with a very calculated eye.
Yep.
You don't get too high about what you see or too low about what you don't at this point. Because last year at this time, we were, wow, Blake Bortles looks like he's ready for a big season. And we know that wasn't the outcome.
All the talk around town right now is of the players that are not here. Brandon Albert, one of those. Jalen Ramsey was not here yesterday. You make a big deal out of that?
No. I mean, with Brandon Albert, yes, there's the storyline. There's the holdout, which is not a holdout yet. I believe he'll be here for anything that's mandatory, and I believe as a 10-year veteran that where they plug him in, he'll be fine. I don't think it's very hard to say go block a guy. And then Jalen Ramsey, I'm just not worried about that on the first day of OTAs. I know it's a thing. I know it's something we'll talk about. If he's here for 7 or 8 OTAs, I don't think we're going to be sitting there in training camp on August 8th going, hey, did missing on June 12th, how did that affect you, AJ? I mean, I think it's going to be a thing for him.
If you read between the lines, I think Doug was saying very subtly, he'll probably send me a text message. In other words,
Right. Send
me a text message. Let me know that you're not going to be here so that I don't have to stand in front of the media and say, I don't know where you are.
I think Doug
was
mildly irritated. I don't think it's a thing that is going to be an issue long term.
Right.
Now to Daly's Place, guys. The countdown's nearly done. They open for business Saturday night. They're working up to the final moments out there. You've been out there recently, Brian?
I walk by every day just to see where they're at.
Yeah. It's they put the test on the roof, I guess, because of the rain the last couple of days. See if that works.
Yeah.
They lit up the outside last night for the first time.
Yeah, we're seeing some of that right now.
It's an amazing process. It truly is.
So that's coming up Saturday is when it opens for business just outside of Everbank.
It's not going to be completely done. I mean, there's going to be some temporary qualities to it until mid-June to early July. I mean, they've been on an aggressive schedule with this. I talked to Tom Chuparkov, who's the architect, a couple of weeks ago, and he was saying that from, the time they started on the east erecting steel to the west, there were all sorts of design changes, and there were no perpendicular pieces of steel, and there's just so much new about it. Even the roof, the roof is underneath the trusses as opposed to on top of it, which is a completely different way of applying that product. And so, the fact that they were able to get it this far and be almost done in this time frame is, I don't want to say a stretch or reach, but it's pretty amazing. And so they got to close the gap over the next month or 6 weeks to get it all done. And we're going to find out later going upstairs, and Mark Lamping's going to give everybody an idea of, what to expect this week and then what to expect in 2 weeks, 4 weeks, and by the time the season rolls around and all the walls are on and all of the components of the flex field. So, like I said, work in progress, but come take a look at it because it's very pleasing to the eye.
It is. So that's coming up this weekend. Then they'll have the flex fuel done a little later. And as you said, Mark Lamping's talking this afternoon, and I'm sure we'll have some coverage of that coming up on the website as well. What's coming up on Senior Moments this week?
I don't know.
I forget.
Yeah, I do too.
Of course you do.
Yeah.
So check out the podcast coming up on
Jaguars. Well, by doing that, you realize that we have had you promote for us. When you don't have to shamelessly promote yourself,
that's right.
You're doing something right.
One bond.
Didn't you just do that on ITJ yesterday?
What?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't remember.
Yeah, of course you don't. Okay. That'll do it for our show today. Thanks to Paul Pozlesny.
I'll tell you this. We're going to do one Friday and wrap up the week.
How about that?
Yeah.
I just remember.
If you can remember what happened this week by Friday.
It'll be good.
John will tell me.
It'll be good. I'll let you know. It's coming.
Hey, we said senior moments. We didn't say old school.
That could be interesting, too. It's not too late to change it. John Osier, Brian Sexton, I'm JP Shadrick. Thank you for watching Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank.